Well, our readings today are filled with people who are, shall we say, not very eloquent in their prayer. In our first reading, we're picking up the story of the Exodus. God led his people out of slavery in Egypt with great power, with the plagues, crossing the Red Sea, and now they're in the desert and they are hungry. In fact, we could say that they're hangry. It's one of those great new words that someone came up with, hangry, when you get so hungry that you're angry. And it's a prime example of it in this first reading from Exodus. It says, "The whole Israelite community grumbled against Moses and Aaron. They said to them, 'Would that we had died at the Lord's hand in the land of Egypt, as we sat by our flesh pots and ate our fill of bread. But you had to lead us into this desert to make the whole community die of famine.'" So they're clearly pretty hangry. They're hungry, they're irritated, they're tired, frustrated, thinking that they were kind of better off in Egypt. At least they had food there. So they have these troubles, they have these frustrations, and they grumble about it. They complain. And we can see they should have been a little bit more patient and trusting, right? I mean, God had done how many miracles to get them there out of Egypt? He'd shown his absolute power so often that nothing is an obstacle to him. He even parted the Red Sea to let them pass. And in doing that, he showed also how much he cared for them. So they should have had a little bit more faith that God would provide what they need. And they should have just politely asked God to give them some food. So they're not praying very well. But on the other hand, they are making their needs known. They bring their complaint to God's representative, to Moses. They bring it more as an accusation, it's true, but it is still a communication. They cry out to the Lord in their need. Not a humble, trusting cry, but it is still bringing your needs to the Lord. And the Lord hears that. The Lord hears that grumbling. He says to Moses, "I have heard the grumbling of the Israelites. Tell them, in the evening twilight you shall eat flesh, and in the morning you shall have your fill of bread, so that you may know that I, the Lord, am your God." The Lord knows what they need. He knows they need food. He wants his people to come to trust in him and to freely and humbly ask him for what they need. But he doesn't demand that they ask perfectly. He hears their grumpy complaint and he gives them what they need. So then in our gospel, we're continuing our walk through John chapter 6, the Bread of Life discourse. As Father Kevin talked about last week, the crowd was all excited about Jesus doing a multiplication of bread because they wanted to be freed from hunger. They wanted to be freed from needing to work every day to provide food for themselves. So they're all excited about Jesus. That's why they follow him. At the end of last week's gospel, Jesus had slipped away from them. This week they're following him and they catch up with him. And Jesus tries to get them to think of higher things. He tells them, "Do not work for food that perishes, but for the food that endures for eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you." But the people aren't really into that. They tell him, "What sign can you do that we may see and believe in you?" Now remember, these people, just the day before, had seen the miraculous sign of the multiplication of loaves. He fed 5,000 people with just a handful of food. And that was just yesterday. And yet they're asking again for another sign. They go, "What can you do? Our ancestors ate manna in the desert." And they're alluding to this gift of manna in the desert, which was given every morning. And they're following Jesus, asking him to give another sign. They're really asking for another multiplication of bread. And Jesus says, "It was not Moses who gave the bread from heaven. My Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is that which comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." He's still trying to get them to understand that he's talking about more than just physical bread and physical life. The true bread from heaven is something more. And the people reply, "Sir, give us this bread always." I love this line because, of course, the people still don't get it. You know, they're like, "Yes, the bread, give us this bread always." That's what they want. The people don't really get what he's talking about. They're not really picking up what he's laying down. They're not all that interested in this spiritual stuff. And yet they do say this beautiful prayer, "Sir, give us this bread always." They don't really know what God is offering, but they do know that they are in need, and they know that God can provide for them, and so they bring their need to him. Just like with the Israelites in the desert, perhaps it's more of a demand. Perhaps they too are getting hangry, or maybe they just don't know what they're asking. But there is some real communication there, and it is beautiful. Brothers and sisters, I would suggest that we could do a lot worse than to pray like that. Because we are pretty much like that crowd following Jesus. We're pretty much like the Israelites in the desert. We're hungry. We have needs. And we have some idea that God can fulfill those needs, and we have some trust that maybe he's willing to do that. And so just like with the Israelites or the Jews following Jesus, we ask God for help. And just like with them, God wants more for us than we can understand. He wants more and better things for us than maybe we're willing to accept. He wants to give us higher things when maybe what we care most about is just earthly, tangible things. For instance, God wants to give us graces, spiritual virtues. And yet when we go to pray, we often ask for worldly success, for fame, honor, just worldly goods. God wants to teach us that the greatest thing in life is our relationship with him. But when we pray, maybe we only ask God for a better job or for a promotion or that we can take this nice trip. God wants to show us the beauty of that relationship with him, and oftentimes we're not that interested. He wants to show us even the beauty of sharing in the cross of Jesus Christ, being united to him in that, the way that the saints were. And yet when we pray, we don't care about uniting our sufferings to his, but we just cry out to the Lord to just take away all of the pain. God wants to make us saints, brilliant, shining, powerful works of his art, like diamonds, precious and rare and strong. And yet in our prayer, we so often ask him to take away all of the struggles and challenges that actually help us grow in holiness. We don't ask him to help us grow through those difficulties, but we ask him to just take all those away, to take away all of the heat and pressure that helps transform us into those diamonds of the spiritual order. We spend so much of our time asking for things of this passing world, for food that perishes, instead of food that endures to eternal life. And of course, we do rightly ask for these passing things because our Father knows that we need them. But oftentimes we insist that that's all we need and we're not interested in whatever else God is offering. So our prayer is not the best. Our prayer has all sorts of things wrong with it. You know, we doubt God's love and care for us even after he's shown it again and again. We sometimes refuse what he wants to give us, and we just angrily demand lesser things. So our prayer isn't perfect. But the most important thing isn't to get our prayer perfect. God doesn't demand that we pray perfectly. The most important thing is that we just pray at all. We don't always know what we need, and we don't always ask for it well, but we do know we have needs, and we know God is generous and wants to fulfill those needs. And so we ask him for that. That's good. That's not just one step in the right direction. That's many steps in the right direction. We could do a lot worse than saying, along with Jesus' listeners, "Sir, give us this bread always." Jesus replies to them and he says, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never hunger, and whoever believes in me will never thirst." I am the bread of life, the bread of God, the bread that gives life to the world, the bread that endures to eternal life is ultimately none other than God himself. How could it be anything else? Think about it. What else can fulfill the hungers of the human heart? We want perfect love. We want perfect freedom, joy, and happiness. But we don't get that from other human beings. They don't have it to give. You can't give what you don't have. All of us fallen human beings have our own problems, our own sins, our own selfishness that keeps us from loving perfectly. Just think of how often we hurt those we love most. We hurt those we want to care for most, those close to us. We don't have that perfect love to give. Our relationships with others are very good, but they can never totally fulfill the needs and hungers of the human heart. Only God can do that. Only God is the bread that satisfies the hungry heart. St. Augustine said, "You have made us for yourself, O Lord, and our hearts are restless until they rest in you." Brothers and sisters, let us cry out to the Lord in our hunger, not simply or mainly for the goods that perish, the goods of this world, but let's cry out to him in the hunger of our hearts. And let's come to him confidently, trusting that he will fulfill us. This is what we do, of course, at the Mass. Receiving communion isn't about satisfying our physical hunger. You know, the host that we receive doesn't have a whole lot of calories in it. It's about the hungers of your heart. Therefore, when you come to Mass, as you sit in church before Mass, take some time to pray. Try to arrive early or set aside some time, sometime on Sunday before Mass, to reflect. What do I need from the Lord? What is my heart hungering for? And then ask for that. Ask for that in advance, before Mass. Ask for it again as you walk up to receive communion, as you go back to your place and kneel down. That's a privileged time of prayer. In that time, of course, we should also worship the Lord and thank him for the great gift of his body and blood given to us in the Eucharist. But certainly, bring him what's on your heart. Bring him your burdens, your needs. Bring him the hunger pains of your heart, where life isn't giving you what you need to thrive. Bring them to him and ask him to fill you spiritually. Ask him for the strength you need to conquer the sins that you struggle with. Ask him to give you overflowing joy, strength, peace, wisdom to know what to do, and courage to do it. Ask him to give you help in all of your difficulties, and also ask to be open to the Lord's plan to grow through those difficulties. Grow in holiness. Ask for that growth. And most of all, ask to know his love. Because we're all lacking love in our lives. But why is that? We have a God who loves us more than we can imagine. Jesus loves us to death, literally. Why should we feel unloved? Yet our hearts long for love. Perhaps we're still hungry for love because we don't take the time to receive the love that the Lord gives us. There's no more profound gift of love from God than the Eucharist. If you want to feel love, if your heart is hungering for love, tell that to him. Tell the Lord. As you kneel and pray before and after communion, cry out to the Lord from the midst of your loneliness and ask for love. Ask the Lord to give you a hug, a kind word. Ask and stay with it in the while. Stay with that a while, listening. Which of you fathers out there in the congregation wouldn't give your child a hug when your child asks for one? You know, few things move a parent's heart more than their little child reaching up, asking for a hug. It moves all of us. It's beautiful. And the Lord is far more loving than we are. Even if maybe some human fathers would refuse that, that's not the kind of father the Lord is. That's not the kind of Savior Jesus Christ is. Our hearts were not made to be self-sufficient and isolated. We need the love of others. And we need more than the frail and feeble love that other human beings can offer us, tinged by selfishness. We need the strong, self-sacrificing, perfect love of God. That's the only thing that can fulfill us. This is the only bread that can satisfy the hunger of our hearts. Here at this Mass, let's ask him, give us this bread always.